We begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Kuf Yud. Begin four lines down at the top of the Yamad. But the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had brought one of the sources for the halacha that the father inherits his child from the fact that it says She'eirei, where the Braisa Darshan She'eirei, his relative, refers to his father. Now the Gemara had asked, how do you know it refers to the father inheriting his son? Maybe it also means his mother, because we find the pasuk She'er Imchi, that the mother also is referred to in She'er. And the Gemara said, no, because it says the term Mishpachtoi, where Mishpachas Av, Kuri Mishpacha, family is only paternally, not maternally. Which in that context, the Gemara brought in the pasuk referring to Yohainasan ben Gershom ben Moshe, where although it said ben Menashe, but it's only because he did like the acts of Menashe, which was Abay Dezara, but truthfully he was a grandchild of Moshe Benu. Now, so in that context, that the Gemara continues and says, whereas it had discussed that one should marry into appropriate, high-quality families to have good children and offspring, in contrast, as we find between Aaron, who married into a good family, Basim and Nadav, and had righteous grandchildren, Pinchas, in contrast to Moshe, who married the daughter of Yisroi, and had a grandchild who was a worshipper, who had been part of Avodah Zarah. Now, Amar Rava, he says, Anisa Isha, if someone marries a woman, Tzarech Shivdik Bachel, has to inspect her brothers, and the reason for that is, as the Gemara will later explain, that the sons are similar to the mother's brother. Shanem, like it says the pasuk in Shema, it says, V'yikach Aaron es Elisheva basam anada b'chais nachshem, as we mentioned this pasuk in the previous daf, that Aaron took Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadav, the sister of Nachshon. Now, b'mashba shanem basam anada, ask the Gemara, for the fact that it says that she was the daughter of Aminadav, any idea Shachis Nachshon? Don't I know that she was the sister of Nachshon? We know the Torah elsewhere delineates who's whose child. So we know that if she married the son of this person, it means to say she's the brother of that person. So what does the Torah come to teach us? That Aaron went to marry this woman that was the sister of Nachshon, and it comes to teach that she inspected the brother. That is because she was Achlis Nachshon, who was a Nasi for the tribe of Yehuda, since of his Chashivas, that's why he married her. From here that we learn that someone that marries a woman has to inspect the brothers. As Tana, as we learn in the Braisa, that says, Reiv banim doim la'achayim. The majority of sons are similar to the mother's brother, and if you want to inspect his quality to make sure that your children are going to be the same. Now, going back to what was mentioned in the previous staff regarding Yohanes and the son of Gershom, who is the son of Moshe Rabbeinu, where it's in Sefer Shevtim in the parsha of the Pesel Micha, which is the idol of Micha, the pasuk there says Vayisur, and the gear says Vayisur Sham, that they turned there. And they said to him, meaning the Shevet Hadanis who came there, said to Yohainasan, who brought you over here to this place of idol worship? What are you doing with this? And what brings you over here? Now, what are these different terminologies that they told him? So in that the Gemara Darshans, all of them are referring to the fact that he's a grandchild of Moshe Rabbeinu. And how could it be that you're here in the Beis Avodah Zarah? Amrulay, they said to him, Lav me Moshe Kaasas, don't you come from Moshe Rabbeinu? Tachsebe, that these three psukim that the Gemara will bring are all by when Moshe Rabbeinu first met the Rabbeinu Shalalim by the burning bush. It says in the Pasuk in Shemais, Al Tikrav Halayim, Hashem said to him, don't come here. So you see the word Halayim in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. So they said, Me'aviyacha, Halayim. Moreover, they said, Lav me Moshe Kaasas, don't you come from Moshe Tachsebe, that says over there that Hashem said to him, Ma'zeh b'yadecha, what's this? We're referring to the stick that's in your hand. So that's what they told him, Ma'ato'isa b'zeh, what's Ma'zeh? You're from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moreover, they said, Lav me Moshe Kaasas, don't you come from Moshe Tachsebe, that says regarding him that Hashem told him, Ba'ata poya moide modi, that you stay and stand over here with me, which was there regarding to Har Sinai, that Moshe Rabbeinu should remain with Hashem. Which is also the words they were telling him, Malachom Pai, where Hashem said to Moshe Pai, Te'asa Kain Lavay Dezara, and you, a grandchild of Moshe Rabbeinu, will become a priest for idols? That's what Yohainasin responded to them. He says, Kach Mekablan Mebeis Avi Abba. This is a tradition that I have from my grandfather's household. La'olam Yaskir Adam Asman Lavay Dezara. A person should even lease himself out, hire himself out to a house of idol worship, and he shouldn't have to come on to other people. And since I don't have any money to support myself, therefore I'm a priest in the Beis Avodah Zarah, as long as my heart is not really there and I don't really believe in the idol worship. Now, however, the Gemara tells us, "V'hu sabal Avodah Zarah mamish." Yohanan actually thought that it literally meant that what Moshe Rabbeinu had said was go to Avodah Zarah, to a house of idol worship, if you need parnasa. But says the Gemara, "V'lahi," that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu meant. Ela Avodah Zarah. What does that mean? The literal translation is avodah shezaralai. He should take a service, a job that's foreign to him. Avodah zarah could mean the avodah zarah, which is a term used for serving something foreign, which means an idol worship, or it could mean a job, an avodah that's zarah, that's foreign to him, meaning if he's a respectable person and the job is something that's degrading, that is something that a person should do as long as there's no prohibition. But it doesn't literally mean to say to do avodah, to serve by avodah zarah. As the Gemara tells us, like Rav told Rav Kahana, you should skin a dead animal carcass in the marketplace and take pay for it. In other words, you should go ahead and take a job of skinning dead animals in the marketplace in front of everyone, and there's a chiddush in that, that does not consider chil Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name. In other words, that's not included in what the Pasuk says, which the Gemara Darshan Masech Shabbos, Umasniya Havimavis, that which the Gemara Masech Shabbos Darshan, that to say that those who cause me to be hated by other people, that is, they're deserving of death, which refers to a Talmudic scholar who, let's say, has an ugly stain on his garment. But people say, that's a Talmud Chacham. I don't want to have anything to do with that. So you would think the same thing would apply over here. That's what the Gemara is saying, that Rav told Rav Kahana that no, to do a job to provide for yourself, that's not considered degrading, even though it's a low type of a job. It's something important. You're teaching a lesson that there's certain discipline that Talmid Chacham have. And therefore, don't say, oh, I'm a great person, Vezila B. Milsan is degrading for me to do such a low-down job. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching his family, to do even serve for an avodah shezaralai, which is take any low-down job, but don't have to come out to people for handouts. And but it doesn't literally mean to say, like Yohannesson had interpreted, as actually serving as a priest of avodah zarah. Now, says the Gemara, Kimin Shiroh David, Shemam and Chavolah B'Yesus. So once David HaMelech saw that money was something very dear to Yohannesson, and that's why he was taking such a job, it was all about the money. So Minahu Allah Eitzer, so he pointed him on his storehouses. Shnemelik, it says the Pasuk in Divriyam Aleph, Ushavuel ben Gershem ben Menashe, which actually the Gersh says ben Moshe, but we find elsewhere that it was also said that he was ben Menashe. Nogar Allah Eitzer, he placed him as the officer in charge of the storehouses. Now the question is, V'chi Shavuel Shemai, was the son of Gershem, the son of Moshe, his name Shavuel? His name was Yohannesson. And that is because there were no other sons for Gershom besides this one child, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, B'nei Gershom was Shavuel HaRoish. So, but yet we know that his name was Yohannesson. So on that, Rabbi Yechanan says, Sheshav La'el B'chal Liba. That is because he repented to God with all his heart, meaning now, once he had a lot of money, because David HaMelech gave him a good job, and therefore then he didn't have to go ahead and do idol worship anymore. Now, Rashbam says, although the Pasuk does say that Yohannesson ben Gershom ben Menashe, him and his sons were all priests for the Shevet Adani until the day of the Gullus will happen, which the Bryson Seder Olam says until the tribe of Dan went into exile with the Pestle of Micha, with the idol of Micha with them. And so too, this is brought down in the last parak in Brachas in the Yerushalmi, which they asked the same question, but it says, Yim Gullus Ha'aretz, how could you say that he repented? On that, the answer is, because when David HaMelech died, then Shlomo HaMelech came and took over the monarchy. He then exchanged all the officers. And then Yohannesson was out of a job again. So then he went right back to his original positioning. As the Pasuk says, that V'navi Echad Zakin Yeshev Beisel, that was referring to Yohannesson who went back to his old ways. Now, actually, they ask over there in the Yerushalmi, that how could he be a Kohen for Avodah Zarah, a priest for Avodah Zarah, and Beherich Yam, and have lived a long life? That says the Gemara, that because since he was very begrudging towards his idol, how so? If someone would come and try to bring an ox or a calf or a sheep or a goat for his idol, so he would tell the individual that, you know, when the person would say, okay, a piece for me, bring this to the idol, he would say, what's it going to help you? It doesn't eat, it doesn't drink, it doesn't do any good, it doesn't do any bad. So the guy would say, so what should I do? So he would say, go ahead, bring me just a little bit of flour and 10 eggs, and then I'll appease the idol for you. And when the guy would go, so he would eat it. And then someone came and said, if it doesn't help anything, so what are you doing over here? So he said, this is my parnasa, this is my job, this is what I gotta do. But again, that's what David HaMelech came and then rectified that. But then that's what the answer is, that although it says later on he was, because Shlomo HaMelech changed the offices and was back down and he had to go back to his old job. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of HaMishnah, that the second one in the category of Neichlo Machilin, that they inherit and they bequeath to that peer, is Vabanim Esa'av, is sons regarding the father. Sons inherit from the father, and when the son dies, the father inherits the son. So the Gemara asks Manolan, from where do we know this halacha that when we say the sons inherit from the father, which also infers that the son comes before the daughters, because it doesn't say habana v'habana sasav. The Mishnah doesn't tell us that sons and daughters inherit the father. Sounds like that only sons do, because sons come before daughters. Now, however, Rashbam does point out that although the son is the only sole inheritor before the daughters, but daughters do take a tenth of the properties, as the Gemara says in Sefzik Subis, a certain takan sacham that they could use towards their future marriage. But where do we know that the sons come before the daughters? So says the Gemara, like it says the pasuk in Bemidbar. It says, Ish ki yamus v'gaymer, if a man will die, etc., and it says, then ain loy, etc., and he doesn't have a son, oh, then it passes on to these others. Now the truth is, it should have said, Ish ki yamus, if a man dies, uben ubas ain loy, he doesn't have a son or a daughter. Or it should have said, Ish ki yamus, if a man dies, v'varzim es nachalos lebitu lebenai, and then you'll pass on to his inheritance to his son as a daughter. Why doesn't it say that? Why does it say, uben ain loy, he doesn't have a son? Then if he doesn't have a son, vavartim es nachlos lebita, then you'll pass on his inheritance to his daughter. That says the Gemara. Rather, time of the inlay ben, it sounds like the reason is because when he doesn't have a son with that daughter, then it's going to pass on to the daughter. Hayeshle ben, but if he has a son with that daughter, that ben kaiden, that the son is before, and then it doesn't go to the daughter. And that asks the Gemara. Omli Rapabal Abai says, but Ema, I could tell you that actually what the Pasuk is teaching is if there's a son without a daughter, then Leiris ben. That's what the Pasuk is teaching, then the son inherits. Ika bas, but if there is a daughter without the son, Teiris bas, then the daughter inherits. But I could tell you, Ika ben abas, if there is a son and a daughter, loy hai Leiris, then neither one inherits, which as the Gemara will shortly clarify, it means that neither one will inherit the whole entire thing, but rather they'll inherit together, and that's how you should read the Pasuk. Ish ki yamas uben ein loy. If a man will die and he doesn't have a son with the daughter to inherit as one, rather all he has is a singular daughter without a son, then that's what the halacha will apply. Then you're going to go ahead, as the pasuk says, you'll pass on his inheritance to his daughter. But the inference would be, if he does have a son with a daughter, then they'll actually inherit together. How do you know that it means that the son is before the daughter? Maybe they both inherit equally. And it's just saying that when they're both around, then actually neither one will inherit. Which, that's what the Gemara clarifies and asks. What are you saying? When there's a son and daughter, then neither one of them inherit? But then, as the Gemara continues, Tamid Beis asks, so then man, and takes out the word chulu, man leiris. So who exactly is going to inherit if not the closest relatives to the one who died? What, atu bar kasha demasa leiris? What do you think, the governor of this town, he should go in and inherit? What do you mean that when they're both son and daughters around, neither one inherits? That says the Gemara, no, hacha kamina. This is what I was asking. This is what I was saying. Ika ben abbas. Maybe you could interpret the pasuk in saying that when there's a son and a daughter, loy hai leiris kule, v'loy hai leiris kule. Then neither one of them inherit the whole thing. Elokia dodi leiris, but rather than they both inherit together. How do you know to interpret the pasuk by saying that ven ein loy, oh, then the daughter inherits? No. Maybe you should read it that if there's no son with the daughter, it's only the daughter, then she inherits the whole thing. And if there's a son only, then here it inherits the whole thing. But maybe when there's both around, maybe they both inherited together. And not like the way you're saying in interpreting the halacha of the Mishnah, that when there's a son, the daughter gets nothing. On that, Amalei Abaya, Abaya responded to Rapapa's question. He said, if it would be true that, like you want to interpret the pasuk, that it would be telling us that we both inherit together, it would come out the way you're saying it, that a son doesn't have any more rights to inherit than more than the daughter. And that when there's a son and a daughter, it's almost like when there's two sons. And that asks Abaya back to Rapapa, so what, do you think that ve'itzach kra lashem inan? So then what do I need a pasuk for to teach? That heicha deles le'el echad brother, when there's only one son, that lertinu l'kuli nichsi, that then he inherits all the properties of the father? In other words, why then, according to you, is the pasuk saying, ve'imen le'ben, if he doesn't have a son, oh, then v'avartim es nachlos le'bita, then you'll pass inheritance to the daughter. Pretty obvious. The pasuk doesn't have to say that. It should have just written, Ish ki yamas, if a man dies, v'zera ein lo, and he doesn't have any children, v'nesatim es nachlosi l'achim, then it should have gone on to the next one, then you'll pass it on to his brother. And then I would have known that if there is no son, of course the daughter will inherit everything, because you're saying that they're both equal, the son and the daughter are the same thing, it's like two brothers, where obviously if one brother dies, the other brother inherits the whole thing. Rather, Abaye says, obviously, the pasuk is coming to teach us that the son comes before the daughter. And that's what the pasuk was necessary to tell us, that even though the daughter does not inherit anything when there is a son, so I would have thought to say that actually, even when there is no son, that actually then the pasuk would skip over the daughter, and automatically would be benesat mesnach losel achim, that you would give the inheritance to the brothers of the one who died, not to the daughter. And that's logical to say, because just like we say that when a person dies, his mother doesn't inherit him, as we explained previously, that the mishpacha's aim is not kruy mishpacha, the maternal family is not called, the woman in the inheritance is not so significant, so therefore maybe I would have thought to say that the daughter also does not inherit, because the family of women are not considered family, not higher up, meaning regarding the mother, and not lower down, meaning the daughter. And that says Abaye, that's what the pasuk is teaching us, that you pass on the inheritance to the daughter. And that's what it's coming to tell us, that it does go to the daughter. But you see inherently in the pasuk that obviously if it has to tell us this, that if there's no son, it goes to the daughter. If the daughter was just like the son, it wouldn't have to tell us this. Obviously, it's like we're interpreting in the Mishnah that the son comes before the daughter. Now, that says Rav Papa back to Abaye, and he asks, and we're going to explain with the preferred explanation of the Rashbam. He says, but the Dilma, but maybe the reason why the Torah wrote in such a way, you're right, according to me, seemingly it shouldn't have to say Uven Einloy. Like you're asking back to me, you're saying that, okay, should have just said if he has no children, because a son and daughter is the same thing. No, says Rav Papa, maybe the reason why the Torah wrote it such a way of Uvein Einloy, if there's no son, that Vavartem, and then you'll pass it on to the daughter, and it didn't just write that V'nesatem es nachlos l'bnoy l'bita, that you should just give the inheritance for the son and the daughter. Maybe the reason for that is because Hakamash Malon, what's coming to teach us with this word Vavartem, is to say that the daughter is just like the son, meaning the Bas Nami is coming to say that the daughter also Bas Yerushahi, that she is someone that could inherit, that she's included in the inheritance of the father. In other words, if it wouldn't have said that, I would have thought to say that actually a daughter does not inherit at all, not with the son and not without the son, because maybe the pasuk is particular, it has to be a male. As the pasuk says, you see when the pasuk continues on and says, okay, if there's no children, who does it go to? It goes to the brothers of the one who died, or to the father's brothers of the one who died. And moreover, the pasuk says, mimishpachtoi, which we know that the family refers to the paternal family, and therefore I would have thought to say that actually the woman is not included in inheritance. And that's what the pasuk has to teach us, that no, she does inherit. Now, therefore, since when there is a son, then she would also split evenly with him, because why should we exclude her from the inheritance? And therefore, maybe the pasuk is saying as follows, says Rav Papa, Ish kiyamus uven einli, when it says a man dies and he doesn't have a son to inherit with the daughter, then vavartim, then you're going to go ahead and pass on the entire inheritance to the daughter. In other words, then all of the inheritance will transfer from one tribe to another tribe through the daughter, like Rebbe had taught us, where there are certain situations where it's going to go from one tribe to the next, which is when the daughter inherits and she marries a man from another tribe. But when there is a son with her, then it's not the entire inheritance that gets transferred to another tribe. And because since the pasuk is coming to teach us like Rebbe, it could not have told us this halacha of l'bnoyu l'bita. It couldn't just say that, oh, okay, if a man dies, it goes to his son and the daughter. Because it wants to teach us that there are times that the entire inheritance will transfer to another tribe. That's only if we say, uven einlo, there's no son. And then what happens is, vavartem es nachalosai, the whole inheritance goes to another tribe. Why? Because the daughter is the sole inheritor who married a man from another tribe. But therefore, says Rav Papa, maybe that my question is still valid. Maybe if they're both around, they both equally inherited. And they just said this term, Vavartim, to teach Rebbe's halacha, that it will totally transfer to another tribe. And again, the primary reason is because it's coming to teach us that the daughter does inherit, which is this halacha, Vavartim, which is coming to, in a backhanded way, to teach us this concept that the woman inherits, and that's how it's going to transfer to another tribe. And that Abaye responds to Rav Papa. He says, no, hahu, that halacha that a daughter inherits. In other words, if you're saying regarding the inheritance of the daughter, and you're saying that's equal as the son, then again, Abaye's question was, then why do you have to say it in this ven einlo mevartem? On that says Abaye, you can't say that you needed to teach that a woman inherits, because that you actually know from a different pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, mi b'chol bas yereshes nachla nafka. We learn it out from the pasuk. It says, and every daughter will inherit the inheritance. From that you learn that a daughter is included in the halachas of Yerusha. And therefore, the pasuk could have just as easily said, Ish ki yamas, if a man dies of a zera einlo, and he doesn't have any children. And then they could have just gone on and said, then if there's no children, give it to his brothers. And it should not have had to say, Uven einloi, that there is no son. Rather, says Abaya, it must be coming to tell us that the son comes before the daughter. It's only if there's no son, then it goes to the daughter. Because it's not coming to teach us that a daughter inherits, that we know from a different pasuk. And that's how Abaya answers Rav Papa's question. He brings a different pasuk in Bamidbar to answer a Papa's question that from where do we know that the son comes before the daughter? And this is coming from what the daughters of Tzlafchad had said to Moshe Rabbeinu when their father died without any sons and only left over these daughters of which called the B'nai Tzlafchad. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Lo miyigara shem aveinu mitech mishpachtei. Why should the name of our father be downgraded from his whole family?" That in other words, that he's not going to take in the inheritance because now there's not leaving over any name for our father because he doesn't have any sons. Why are you doing this? That you're not rectifying for us that in place of the sons, since he left over no sons, that we should go ahead and take that inheritance. Now, what you understand from their words is because had our father left over sons, we would have been quiet. We would not have tried to get anything out from you for ourselves. Because then it wouldn't have been Nigarashem Avinu. Because then our father would have inheritance through his sons. But now they were saying, now that there's no son, give us a portion of the inheritance. Now, on that, says the Gemara, Taima de Einloi Ben. What you see from that is what they're coming to claim is because there's no son. Hayeshli Ben, Ben Kaitim. So what you see is, but if there was a son, then of course they wouldn't have said anything because the son who comes before, they wouldn't get anything. So this says, the second interpretation of Rechba Yaakov, that from here you see the halacha that ben kaim labas. Now that the Gemara asks, but v'dimma b'nei slavchad hu ka'amun hachi. Maybe it's only that this is what they had said, this was their claim, because they thought that's what the law would be. But nitna Torah, but once the Torah was given after the words of the daughters of slavchad, meaning then afterwards the Torah writes there the parsha of inheritance, v'nischacha halacha, and then the halacha was created, in the sense of that, no, the son and the daughter do inherit together, not like the way they thought. And therefore the Gemara says, El Machvarta, rather it's clear, Kedishan and Meikara, we cannot say like the second interpretation, because that wouldn't be a good proof. Maybe that's what they thought it would be. And they thought if there's a son, they wouldn't get anything. But maybe the truth is, even if they were sons, they would equally share with the sons. Rather, we'd have to go like the first interpretation that brought it from a different pasuk, and therefore it's actually learned from a Ven Einloi. Ravina Mamahachi, he tries to bring a third interpretation. How do we know that a son comes before a daughter for the inheritance? From the pasuk in the inheritance that says Hakarv Elov. It's given to the closest relative. Which Hakarv, Karv Kaiden, this comes to teach us the closest relative. Which Rashbam brings that those who interpret that it's being interpreted from the word Hakarv with what's called the Hei Haidia, the closest relative. As Rabbi says in Masechta Pesachim, a similar drasha when it says Ha'ayla, the first Ayla. So to the Gemara Chulin says Hayerech, the most important thigh. Here also when it says Hakarev means the closest relative, who is the closest from all the other ones, and the son is closer to the father than the daughter. Which as the Gemara actually explains it and says, how do you know that the son comes before the daughter from Hakarev? Umay korba de ben, what's the relationship of the son to the father that's more mibas than the daughter? If you're going to say it's because sheben kam tachas aviv liyadu l'steachuza, because we find that son takes over the role of the father for the halacha of yiyud, meaning when the father has a Jewish maidservant, which he could marry just based on the money that he used to purchase her, the son could do the same thing. Or for the halachas of steachuza, when he was makdish, his ancestral field, if someone else redeems it, it goes to the kahana b'yevul. But if the person himself, or even his son redeems it, it goes back to himself, which these halachas do not apply by a daughter, and that says the Gemara, that's nothing. Because if regarding Ya'ada, if it's regarding the fact that Yud only applies to the son, not the daughter, that's not because the son is closer to the father and takes over the role more easily than the daughter. That's only because Bas Lav Bas Ya'adahi. That's because the daughter cannot do Yud because a woman cannot marry another woman. And therefore, the fact that the son does Yud doesn't make him any better than the daughter. And so to Steachuzanami, the same idea regarding the ancestral field, there you actually could say that she actually would take the role of the father, just like the son would, mehai perchu gufuhu the kaimu leilatana. From that exact refutation that the Tana, as recorded this in the previous daf, had said that the reason why we know that's the son that takes the place of his father for ancestral field and not the brother of the person who was makdashit, because we said klum yesh yibum el b'makom shein ben, although that there's a strength that the brother has regarding Yibum. And we said there's a strength that the son has regarding the father. We said, but even the strength that the brother has, which is Yibum, is only because in a place when there's no son. So you see that even his strength is undermined by the strength of the son. And that's how the Tana knows that the son takes the place of the father of Allah of Steachuz and not the brother. Well, that same logic you could say regarding the daughter too. Is there any Yibum only if there's no daughter? I mean, if a man leaves over when he dies for his wife, either a son or a daughter, there's not going to be any Yibum. So they have that logic of being taking the place of the father, Steachuz, would apply just like the daughter as it is by the son. Now, Rashbam says, although that in Masechtas Eirichin, in Perek Emak Dishon of Chafeim Abayis, the Gemara actually excludes the daughter from the halacha of Steachuz from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, Imachar es asad l'ish acher, if it's sold to a different person, which the Brayso of the Yeshiva Bishmol interprets, everyone is considered an acher, a different, in the place of the son, and so too does the daughter be considered an acher. That's only because, and says Rashbam, after that we know that the daughter is considered another, meaning as someone further away, in place of the son, because of what we, the Gemara's conclusion over here, that ish kiyamus uven einloi, which that tells us that the son is before the daughter, but if we did not have that drasha of ish kiyamus, then actually we would have said that both regarding inheritance and regarding steachuz, they actually are the same. So therefore, says the Gemara, what are you saying Hakarav comes to include, Ravina, your interpretation of the son before the daughter, because he's closer, where do you see the son's any better? Yud, not any better. There's just a woman can't marry a woman. And Steachuz, maybe she actually has that same rights. So Ella rather says, the Gemara is so too with this interpretation, Machvarta Kedushan Mekari, it's clear that we have to interpret like we did the first interpretation of Abaya, and this wouldn't be a proof. Now, that says Rashbam, but now that we have that drasha, that regarding Steachuz, that a daughter is in the place of a son like someone else, that's the same thing we find regarding inheritance, the same idea that the daughter is considered further away than the son, and the son comes before the daughter. Then the Gemara says, if you want a fourth interpretation, that we know that a son is before the daughter for inheritance, from the pasuk of a Yikra. It says, that you should go ahead and give over inheritance, what you have of land and the slaves, give over inheritance to your sons after you. Now, it could have said, lezarachem, to your children, but why does it say, levnechem? Comes a teacher, b'nechem, b'lei b'neisechem, that you give over your inheritance of all your properties to your sons and not to your daughters, meaning when there is a son. So that's how we know that the son comes before the daughter. Another thing, but if that's the case, whenever it says b'nechem, it means your sons, not your daughters, well then the pasuk in Devarim that says, l'man yirbu mechem b'mei b'nechem, which we say this in the parashas of Shema, that it should increase, that if you do these mitzvahs, that your days and the days of your sons, so only your sons will get long life, not your daughters? I think Mar says, no, it's not a difficulty. Bracha Shani. A blessing is different. Where, of course, the blessing is blessing the entirety of the Jewish people, and doesn't have to say Zarachem, your children. Because it's logical to say when it says B'nechem, which could include daughters too, that it does include not just sons, but daughters too. Because there is no halfway bracha. If your children are getting blessing, it doesn't go just to the sons and not to the daughters. But regarding inheritance, if it was true that daughters would inherit even when there is a son around, then they should have said Zarachem. Why it said Levnechem could tell you that it's only for your sons and not for your daughters. When there is a son, the sons come before the daughters. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that said the next category, we said a father inherits a son inherits the father, and it goes both ways. And you have a hachin min ha'av, and so two paternal brothers are nechlin manchilin v'chulu, they inherit from the brother, and also they, when they die, they bequeath it to their brothers. And that has the Gemara, minolam, from where do we know this halacha that applies primarily to paternal brothers? Some rabbi says, asya achva achva mnei Yaakov, we learned it out from Gzeir Shava, regarding where it says brothers over here by inheritance, it says brothers by the sons of Yaakov by the 12 Shvatim. Where here it says, V'nasatimus nachlosi la'achib, you give his inheritance to his brothers. It says over there in Bereishis Membeis, Shneim asr abadecha acham anachnu, that they were telling Yosef that we are 12 slaves, brothers we are, b'nei ish echad v'gayma, we are all the sons of one man. Now, why does it say that we're all the sons of one man? That seems to be superfluous. It's coming to Darshan that when you mention that we are brothers, that brothers are only from the same man, from the same father, meaning brothers are paternal brothers. So, malahalan mina avalei mina aim. So just like over there by the sons of Yaakov, they were only paternal brothers, not maternal. There were four wives. Afkan mina avalei mina aim. So Torah teaches you over here regarding the laws of inheritance where it mentions brothers, it means paternal brothers, not maternal brothers. Now that the Gemara asked, but v'lamali, why do I need, as the Gemara just said, gzeirah shavah by the laws of inheritance to teach us this halacha that only applies to paternal brothers? But we already taught this, we already learned it out from a different pasuk, Mimishpachta v'yorosh Isaac Sivis, because it says in the pasuk that from his family, he'll inherit him. Which, that teaches us, Mishpachas Avkori Mishpachas, as we taught in the previous daf, from other psukim, that it proves that the family of the father, paternal family, is called family. Mishpachas Eim Enikori Mishpacha, the maternal family is not called family. So I already know from the pasuk itself that it refers to only paternal brothers. Why do I need a Gzer Shava from the sons of Yaakov? The Tigmar says, no, Enechanami, you're right. Really, we learned it out from Mishpachtai. The Chiyit Madur the Rabba, and when did we say this halach of Rabba that was learning out of Gzer Shava from the sons of Yaakov, that from there we learn out that it's only paternal brothers, not maternal brothers? That was Le'inyan Yibim Itma. That was learned out actually for a different context, for the laws of Yibim, where by the midst of Yibim, when a man marries his brother's widowed wife who he died without any children, it says, Ki Yashva Achim Yachtav, that brothers will be dwelling together. U'meis Echem Hem, and one of them dies, U'ven Einloi, and he doesn't have a son, B'goyim, etc., as it says in Dvarim Chafei, that's referring to paternal brothers. They do Yibim to their brother's widowed wife, and not maternal brothers. And that's what we need to learn from the Yeshava of Rabbah, but regarding the Lachos of Yerusha that we know from the pasuk itself, where it says, Mishpachtai, that refers to paternal brothers and not maternal brothers. That only paternal brothers inherit and bequeath to each other, but that halacha of inheritance does not apply to maternal brothers.